Isn't it an amazing thing that in spite of the general affluence and plenty of this nation, there are still millions of people reportedly suffering from hunger? We are told by those who investigated this serious condition that right here in our own country, people go to bed and wake up hungry every day. Much more alarming, however, is the fact that millions are starving spiritually. And this in a world that has been visited with an abundance of the vital, satisfying bread of life. It is true, we are thankful to say, that there are millions that have availed themselves of this wondrous supply of grace. But alas, there are millions more who turn away from the only true food and feed on that which is merely chaff. But not only is it chaff, it is worse than chaff. It is poison itself in the form of error. True, it is presented in attractive packages, appealing to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But it is poisonous. Today, I would, in these few moments with the book, present to you the true bread from heaven, that which is pure, that which is vital. It is absolutely necessary that you receive this bread for your eternal well-being. And I wish to tell you, too, that it is totally satisfying for every desire and longing of your heart. Will you turn with me to the 6th chapter of John's Gospel? I would direct you to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as presented in this chapter. He spoke these words to multitudes that followed him in his day. The words that he speaks, as he says, are words that are spirit and they are life. They present himself as the bread essentially vital to all. They also made a division in the crowd that day, just as they have been doing ever since. Some believed them not and departed from following after him. But some, like Peter, who in response to the Lord's words, "Will ye also go away?" replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a wonderful testimony that is. And it is one that we wish that you, the listener, will be able to give. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented to you here as the one who is what you need. He is spoken of as the bread which came down from heaven and giveth life to the world. In verse 27, I would first of all draw attention to the fact that he reminds the crowd, as he reminds us. And when we read this, relate it to yourself. God intends that you should read the scriptures as if they were written to you as they are. They are intended for your instruction, for your blessing. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." And how many there are that are just putting out every energy and every bent of their desire for that which will perish, the things of this life. Oh, beloved listener, will you not rather seek the meat or the food which endureth unto everlasting life? This is what you need. You have an immortal soul that is going to be in eternity forever. You must have everlasting life, or you will experience eternal death. Now this life, which is offered to you in this chapter, is that which the Son of Man shall give unto you. It is the gift of the Son of Man. The one whom Peter confessed as the Son of God is the Son of Man. The Son of God became man in order that he might redeem men. And he it is who is the giver of this everlasting life. Now he also is the one who is authorized to be the giver of life. We read, "For him hath God the Father sealed." The Father himself from the glory attested to the genuineness of the Lord Jesus Christ as his Son, when he from the glory declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, beloved listener, what is presented to you is given witness to by the Father, sealed and testified that he is the one who is ably sufficient to give you everlasting life. Some ask him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" This is a very good question. Perhaps you have had the question yourself in your mind. Notice the divine answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Do you desire to do the work for your salvation? Jesus says this work is to believe on him whom he has sent. To believe on Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, whom the Father hath sent. This bread which you need for your soul, then, is the sent bread. God, in his love for you, has sent this provision for your need. Jesus, down in verse 32, refers these people to the time when the children of Israel in the wilderness hungered, and Moses was told by God that he was going to send manna for them. "Moses," he said, "gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." The picture of God's provision for you and me is in the supply of manna for the children of Israel during the 40 years' journey in the wilderness. A picture, I say, of that which is true. The Lord Jesus is the true bread from heaven. The very fact that he is the true bread and is mentioned as such indicates that there is that which is false bread. And how much there is that is false today. Oh, beloved listener, we would warn you from that which does not magnify and exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, all the philosophies of men and mere religions of men, that which presents itself for the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is Satan's counterfeit. How many there are who deny the deity of Christ? He himself is the Son of the living God. Deny the atonement that he made by the shedding of his blood. But he is the true bread, and there is no other bread that is necessary for you and can meet your need. Next, he is the bread which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He came down, and this suggests the grace that brought him here, that brought him into the world his hands had made. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but he came as the life-giver, giving life unto the world, that is, making it available to all men. It is offered to you, regardless of your color and creed, regardless of your age. The Lord Jesus Christ is offered to you and to all men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus went on to say, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." This is the promise that the Lord himself has made, and he ever keeps. Have you taken him at his word yet? Have you come to him? Have you said, "Lord, give us this bread"? And have you availed yourself of him? You want something to satisfy the cravings of your heart? You want that which is real, that which is vital, which gives you assurance of eternal blessing? Jesus says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." This is a promise. And he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." These are his words. Oh, I would urge you to read them for yourself in this sixth chapter of John. But notice verse 38. Again, we have him referred to as the one who came down from heaven. He came for a specific purpose for you. He came from heaven to meet you in your need, not to do his own will, he says, but the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the obedient one. He came to do the Father's will. It is the Father's desire that you might come to him. And in order to come to the Father, he has presented to you and given to you the way of approach to the Father. The Lord Jesus himself said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You expect to go to heaven? You want to know the Father? There is only one way, and that is the way of the Lord Jesus. "No man cometh unto the Father," he said, "but by me." The Lord Jesus also is the faithful bread. What he says and promises he will do. He says, "This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." How wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus has power to raise those who trust in him to be with him forever. This will take place when he himself returns to the air and calls to himself his blood-bought people. Over in verse 47, we read this promise again reiterated for us. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," make it personal, dear listening friend, just as though the Lord himself were speaking to you personally. Really, he is speaking to you personally through his word. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Oh, are you listening? Here's what he says. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Oh, what a wonderful promise. Have you proven that yet? Have you taken him at his word? Have you trusted him? He says, "I am that bread of life, that bread which you need, the true bread, the life-giving bread, the one who came for you, specially for you to be received, that you might have life. He that believeth on me." Believing on him is trusting him. It's casting your soul upon him. It's relying on him. It's taking him for your very own need. He says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Oh, how wonderful. God does not desire the death of the wicked. He desires that you might have life, life eternal. Now he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." I want you to notice the definite article here, that there is no other bread that will give you life. There's nothing that can minister to the needs of your soul save he himself alone. Now he says, "If any man eat," or let me give you the tense of the verb here, "if any man shall have eaten of this bread," it implies that there has been a moment in your life when you have eaten of this bread. Now, I'm sure that you are aware that the Lord is using eating here as a symbol of believing, a manner of receiving. When we receive the Lord Jesus, it is through personal faith. Just as eating is an act of personal reception of food, so faith is a personal reception of Christ. Now he says, "If any man, if you, shall have eaten of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So, beloved friend, the bread is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who as man came and gave himself in death at Calvary. You'll notice the Jews say, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" And is just proving again the inability of natural man to understand the things of God. But the Lord Jesus goes on to say, as he will always explain to those that have a desire to know, he by his Spirit will interpret his word. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye shall have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and have drunk his blood, ye have no life in you." Notice how definite that is, how absolute. Let me put it like this. Unless you, beloved listener, have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, unless you have realized it was for you he gave his flesh at Calvary, that he died for your sins, he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, and unless you have received by faith the fact that he shed his precious blood for your personal sins, he says, ye have no life in you. He's not talking here about taking the Lord's Supper. It's not a matter of baptism. It's not a matter of anything else save personal reception of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. Have you accepted him? Have you believed on him in this way? If you haven't, he says, ye have no life in you. Oh, this is important. It is more important than any other question that will ever be faced by you. God grant that today you might realize your need of this one. There is no life in you unless you have accepted him as the bread which came down from heaven for you. And oh, listen, he is the one who will give you the satisfying portion forever. He will, as he says, give you that which will enable you to say, I never hunger. He can satisfy every craving of your heart. The world can't do it. Material things can't do it. The philosophies of men can't do it. Jesus alone is the bread of life, is the one who can give you life and give you satisfaction. And then he goes on to say that those who feed on his flesh, drink his blood, oh, they have the sustenance to be sustained, to be strengthened, to go through this world, a world of turmoil, increasing difficulty, a world of hunger, yes, but in the midst of all, you may have him who is peace, who is joy, who is satisfaction. God grant that today you will be like those whom, like Peter could say, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If that is so, he that thus feedeth or believeth on me shall live forever. These are the words of Jesus. Will you not receive them as food for your own soul and prove that what he says is real, is true? God grant that you will, for your blessing and for his glory. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for the bread of life. We thank thee that it is still available for hungry souls. We earnestly beseech thee that today by thy Spirit there will be listeners who will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in simple faith, receive him as their very own bread of life, and thus receive life everlasting and peace and joy and happiness and contentment forever. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen.